The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to come back now, though, to the aftermath of this knife attack in Stony Batter. A man in custody still after several were injured in the attack. The incident described by the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, as a random attack. But the focus, to a degree, shifting onto the weapon used, the knife. Now, I should say everything that we're about to say and the discussion we're about to have isn't about this particular incident, because there's a possibility someone may be charged there, but also we don't really know the detail yet. But like I say, there is conversations now happening around the fact that a knife was used. And actually, the Dublin Central TD for Labour, Mary Sherlock, was on with Pat Kenny this morning and made this point about knife crime.
We have seen a spate of knife crimes and indeed deaths take place here in the inner city in Dublin, but in other parts of the country over the last number of years. And certainly we would have spoken previously about the need to look at a knife amnesty, that culture of knife crime, of people carrying knives with them in terms of by way of protection.
Yeah, we're going to speak, that was Mary Sherlock, the TD. We're going to speak to Trine O'Connor about that culture in a moment. But Conor Lally is with me, first the security and crime editor of the Irish Times. Conor, Mary Sherlock, the TD there, said we've seen a spate of knife crime. Is she right? I do remember kind of coverage that you provided last year talking about different statistics and kind of maybe worrying upward trends. What exactly did you reveal?
Yeah, certainly the latest figures that we have, and these are from the HSE, Kieran, relate to 2023, and we had 213 people that were treated for knife attack injuries in Irish hospitals in, as I say, 2023. Now, that was the first time in well over 10 years that the number of people that required treatment for attacks had gone above 200. And it was about 30% higher than we'd seen in 2018. So certainly as of 2023, the trend was upwards. But I suppose if you look back over a longer period of time, 10, 20 years maybe, we have this trend of about 170 to about 230 people treated in hospital every year in Ireland for these kinds of attacks. So it has probably been steady, although, as I say, the recent trend has been, you know, on that upper end of the scale. But I think what Murray Sherlock spoke about this idea of there being a culture of maybe carrying knives, I think that is probably more of a concern, and it's probably more unseen, because a lot of the knives that are being carried are not being seized by the guards. So it's one of these, I suppose, culture is one of these problems that's passing under the radar all the time. And that is always a concern for an Garda Síochána, that maybe in, you know, fairly minor public order incidents on the streets, if people are carrying a knife, that it will be produced. And obviously these things will escalate very badly.
And how much of a concern for policymakers? People will remember the now former Justice Minister as well announcing an increase in maximum sentencing in this area.
Yeah, it's hard to see if the maximum sentencing aspect will really, do any good. I mean, that's a wait and see theory, really. I mean, we'd really have to see, do the number of attacks increase or decrease when these higher sentences start to be imposed. And indeed, it'll probably be a while before those first cases will come before the courts. But it is important to say, I mean, obviously, you know, the incident at the weekend in Stony Batter, and we had a separate incident in Ballymun where a man was armed, we think, with a knife. A Gardaí had to open fire on him with a round of less than lethal firearm. So we had these two high-profile incidents. These incidents are very unusual, and certainly in the majority of cases that I would write about where a knife has been used and a person has been killed or very badly injured, a lot of these attacks take place in the privacy of a person's home, and the attacker and the victim are often known to each other. So that is really that's the environment where the maximum damage is done. These random attacks on the streets, or even when a knife is produced during a fight and a person is killed, on the street, they are very unusual. We had a few incidents during the COVID pandemic, particularly in the north inner city, and a couple of people died as a result of those attacks. So that is a concern. We've also had things, crimes like carjackings, robberies and so on, where knives have been used. But this idea of knives being used in fights or in random attacks. It is highly unusual.
Conor Lally, Security and Crime Editor with the Irish Times. Conor, as always, thanks a million for joining us. Trina O'Connor, I mentioned, the criminologist, is with me in studio. So, Trina, Conor kind of mentioned a few different things there. I mean, he touched on kind of domestic violence incidents where a knife may be used, which is kind of a separate issue maybe to the discussion that we're going to have, which is about, and Conor as well mentioned this, that the culture maybe of younger people carrying a knife. Tell me a little bit about that, about where that culture comes from or how prevalent it is here.
Okay, so yeah, Conor touched on a lot of the issues that we look at in the community. So I think one of the things that was quite striking to me was that one out of every six knife that was confiscated by the guards back in 2019 was by under 18-year-olds were carrying knives. So some of the issues that we have around young people carrying knives is that sometimes they can have this kind of, they kind of want to be the big man. For example, they want to have a reputation. Very often when they bring a knife to a fight, the knife is taken off them and used on them. And Conor is right, there's a lot of underreporting of that kind of thing. So because you'll see a lot of community justice, I suppose, street justice is what we call it. So young people are injured. And then there's other victims as well that are too afraid to go to the police. It's very difficult for the police to deal with this, because for young people, we have to look at different sanctions. Even though it's a violent crime, we need to be looking at what we're doing with young people. And we know that a lot of our prisons are overcrowded and we don't really have the interventions there. So when you increase the sentencing, we have to think about what we're going to do with young people and where we're going to put them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kind of risk factors for young people. Like, there's a couple of things that can tell you what the outcome might be. A lot of males carry knives. You've probably seen some of the social media kind of clips that have been on with young people on the bus and that kind of thing, carrying knives, all that kind of thing. So that's where we have a difficulty, when a young person feels so unsafe, because many of them will say they carry knives because they feel unsafe themselves. So that's an issue. So why are young people feeling unsafe within their community, and why do they feel that they have to protect themselves with a knife? Because very often that's what we hear from them.
Well, is there, like, I mean, knife crime has existed as long as knives have existed. There's been crimes in the statute book. Is there kind of a point in time that we look back at and we said this is when this kind of culture began to take root here? Or, you know, how long has it been an issue?
Well, you're right, actually. Knife crime is kind of, over the last couple of decades, become much more prevalent. So I think what we're seeing is an increase in violence in general. And when you see an increase in violence, then you have to look at what are the social conditions and the environments that people are growing up in that is making them desensitized to violence, and why has it become a cultural norm to be ever increasing violence? So I don't know about you, Kieran, but when I was younger, if somebody had a row, there might have been what was called a straightener, but there wasn't a knife involved in it. And I'm not saying that was correct, but that's what happened in a lot of communities. People, you know, worked it out. Usually it was through verbal dialogue. But what we're seeing nowadays is people are so detached from each other. And that's why we do have a lot of criminal justice work being done with youth detachment workers. So they're working with young people who are at risk, young people that are outside of school. If a young person is out of school, that can remove them from society, from the norms of society, and then they can be groomed into criminal behaviour. We're seeing young people using violence as a way to intimidate other young people, and indeed people within their neighbourhoods. So there's a lot of this status building stuff that's happening as well, through organised crime gangs as well, to make areas no-go areas. So it's very, very complex. So it needs a really multifaceted approach to deal with it. And I think that, what was mentioned earlier was like a knife amnesty. They did try that in the UK. And the thing about knife amnesties is it is very good, but it only kind of brings an awareness, because we don't actually know what the results are when somebody does give up a knife.
It strikes me as well, like the knife amnesty and increase in sentencing and things like that, they remind me of that, it often gets parodied, or he kind of gets slagged for it a little bit. The Tony Blair, what is it? Tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime. You know, but at the same time, I guess what he was getting at is that there is a tendency to be tough on crime without kind of talking or thinking about what leads to it in the first place. And you've been doing that there, talking about maybe the social conditions that exist in the areas where people are carrying these knives. How would you assess how we're addressing those problems?
Well, I think we've probably lost about a decade when we look at what's been going on socially for some people. So we seem to have a crisis in mental health for young people, particularly during the pandemic. We cannot get the psychology supports there. We have a homeless crisis. And for many people who are living in overcrowded housing or maybe three different generations in the one housing. So all of the basic things that we consider are, you know, basic rights to growing up as a child. So childhood is being interrupted for many children. Some are having to grow up quicker. Some are growing up on the streets, you know, and that's causing a difficulty for young people because their norms then are different to societal norms because the conditions that they live in, and if they're outside of school, if they can't go to, if they haven't got a routine or they're too far away from their sports team and they lose out and that. So it's all about that interruption. It's like childhood interrupted, and that's where young people can be very vulnerable to grooming. Yeah. And that's a big issue for some of the young people that I see.
And so there's, you know, you describe it as a complex problem, and complex problems don't have simple solutions. If they did, they wouldn't exist. We'd have kind of solved them all a long time ago. I mean, we have a new Minister for Justice. We have a whole new government. What would you like them to, what kind of policy initiative, what programme would you like to see rolled out that would make you go, if I were to announce it here in the next few minutes, you go, well, that's great. That would actually make a material difference. That would get us on the road.
Absolutely.
To
how long have we got? But I think one of the things that is important to point out is the way we do policy in this country. So we only kind of go on a 4 or 5 year cycle. Now, that's the issue when it comes to criminality, particularly youth criminality, because it does take about a decade for things to turn around. So if we put in support for young people, they need to be guaranteed for them crucial years of adolescence when that young person needs all of the supports. So all of the agencies and supporting the families. Like the Violence Reduction Unit in Glasgow, they got a commitment from government and it was over, I think, 10 to 15 years. And that really turned around the violence that was happening in Glasgow. Then once they pulled the funding out of it, the violence went back up. So it just shows that people do need them multifaceted approaches. There is a lot of good going on in government, even the last government. So there was a lot of support around bail supervision, supporting families, using the work of University of Limerick, evidence-based programmes. I think that there is a lot happening, but it just needs to be guaranteed. I think we need more community policing and we need to look at how we work with boots on the ground. So if somebody does well, they build relationships in the community. Very often they get promoted, but then they get promoted out of that community. So we lose all that really good work that's been done and then relationships that have been built with young people. And young people who have trouble building relationships with trusted adults can feel very let down. And that in itself can be a catalyst for them to, you know, want to watch the world burn. So it's very tricky. We need to have consistency and it needs to be over more than 5 years. That's what I would say.
Trina, listen, thanks a million for coming in to us. Trina O'Connor, criminologist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.